This is a rain rerun. This is the rain report. The U.S. Amateur Radio Service faces an uncertain future, even with more than 600,000 hams. Imagine the challenges facing ham radio in India, a country of 800 million people, three times that of the U.S., but fewer than 25,000 hams. The NIAR, National Institute of Amateur Radio, was established in India by its government in 1975. In 1982, it became a national organization. Today, more than 60% of the hams in India belong to the NIAR, according to its chairman, Dr. Srikant Jijhar. Dr. Srikant's experience as a former member of India's parliament give him a unique perspective about amateur radio in the world's largest democracy. I spoke with Dr. Srikant at Dayton Hamvention 2000. What is different about amateur radio in India compared to what you know of here in the U.S.?
The number of hams are much less as compared to what you have in the U.S. The level of technology is also less in India as we see in the U.S. There are less number of companies who are supplying equipment. There are two or three major companies at the multinational level which have their presence. ICOM, Yasu, Kenwood, to a certain extent, Alinco, these are the companies. But what we saw in the hamvention today, in the free market as well as inside the exhibition halls, we found that there are several hundred companies catering to the various needs of the amateur radio enthusiasts. And I think we have to learn many things from you. We have to first increase the number of ham operators in our country, see that they get better equipment.
The economics of India being what they are, it's quite a bit more challenging, I would imagine, for a ham operator to purchase the equipment that he or she needs in India. Is that a major reason why ham radio has not grown as much as it could?
I don't think that is the major reason, because generally those people who get associated with this hobby are well-to-do people and they can afford that sort of equipment. Inexpensive equipment is also available in India. NIAR has itself developed its own rigs. We supply equipment at low cost. So therefore, I don't think that is the cause. The cause seems to be the conservative approach of the government in issuing licenses. The examinations which are conducted, although the course is very simple, the syllabus is very simple, but somehow the government departments are very conservative in clearing the students, in passing the students, and therefore students are discouraged from getting licenses. I think the examination system, the cumbersome rules, they need to be amended drastically to make the movement very popular.
Is the government in favor of amateur radio?
Government is not that much in favor of amateur radio. Previously, it was very conservative. When I was in parliament, I started up this movement in parliament. It was then I was surprised that when I first put my parliament question about amateur radio, the minister for communications never heard of ham. What he had heard is only that ham which they eat. And in parliament, he replied in this manner. But he was very positive about it. He accepted a number of our suggestions and gave instructions to liberalize the examination system. And after he gave instructions, there were several hundred new members who passed the examinations. Even we conducted the government departments examinations in the Parliament House for the members of Parliament. And about 60 members of the Indian Parliament became AMs. There are 543 members in the lower house and 250 members in the upper house.
What is involved in the application process and the examination process?
Whenever the students make the applications, they take a lot of time to process the applications and fix up the date for the examinations. We have some centers around the country known as the wireless monitoring stations. And these applications go to the wireless monitoring stations. Only after a certain number of applications are gathered, then the departments conduct those examinations. So they wait for other applications to come and only then they conduct the examinations. Only in centers where there are enthusiasts and only in centers where there are catalytic agents like the NIAR which run after the departmental officers, only then the examinations are conducted.
Lots of red tape.
Yes, a lot of red tape.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.rainreport.com.
What is the structure of the NIAR?
The structure of the NIAR is that we have got 15,000 members. The NIAR is a charitable society registered under a law in India known as the Societies Registration Act. That's a union law. Under that law, any seven persons committed to the cause of charity can come together and form a society. And that society is a juristic person. It has got a juristic personality, a perpetual succession, a common seal. And it can be sued and it can sue. It has got the status like a company. But it cannot share profits. It cannot make profits. So it has to function on a charitable basis. So this is the structure of the NIAR. It has got its chairman. But the main functionary who does the day-to-day work and does the executive functioning is the executive vice chairman and director. I am the chairman of NIAR and Mr. S. Suri is the vice chairman. We have got a board of directors, eminent people, engineers and other sorts of eminent people like the former chairmen of electricity boards and former presidents of the engineers associations. They are all members of the board of directors.
Are there women in the NIAR?
Yes, yes, there are many women in the NIAR. One of the persons associated with the NIAR is Bharati Prasad, who is known throughout the world as the ambassador on air. She has her call sign VU2RBI. Several thousand people all over the world know her. She has participated in several expeditions. Then we have one Bhanumati, who is a member of our board of directors. We have women participating.
How many clubs are there represented in the NIAR in India?
About 5 years ago, I had asked a question in Parliament about the total number of clubs existing in India and about their call signs. But I don't exactly remember, but I think at that time they had given a list of about 230 clubs, club stations in India. Out of these 230 club stations in India, about 200 are associated with the NIAR.
What do you see is your biggest challenge?
Our biggest challenge is to make the government understand the importance of amateur radio, the need of amateur radio, and make the policymakers and the program implementers inclined towards the cause of amateur radio, make it popular amongst the schools and colleges. We have done our bit in that. In India, there's a program known as the Member of Parliament Local Area Development Scheme, under which every Member of Parliament is allocated a certain amount of fund, which he is allowed to spend through his recommendations. Now, there are about 30 categories included in it, like roads and bridges, like gardens, like drainage, like irrigation. So fortunately, government appointed me as a chairman of a committee and made the committee gave a report. We gave the report and the government accepted the report and included this scheme of ours into the MPLADS, whereby now a member of parliament can directly give his money for amateur radio. I spent about a crore of rupees, 10 million Indian rupees or $2 million for the cause of amateur radio. Gave amateur radio equipment to several schools and got club licenses for the schools. We see small school children operating amateur radio. We run a school in my own city, of which my friend Mr. Madhav Solo is the president. Now in that school, people are very happy to see small children talking on amateur radio, and several times they have spoken with the King of Jordan. Voluntarily have associated several schools and colleges in this movement, and on several occasions we have demonstrated the importance of amateur radio to government. About 4 years ago, 5,000 young children below the age of 5 died in India in a forest area called Melghat. And in that area, 200,000 tribals live. There are no roads and not much infrastructure. But the tribal children died due to malnutrition. As an MP, not from that area, but from an adjoining area, I gave my funds to that area and set up 105 ham stations and made a club out of it and created a volunteer force of 2,700 volunteers and sent 2 volunteers to every village. Out of the 315 villages, we sent 2 volunteers to every one of the 200 villages selected and made the volunteers stay there for 10 days. And the volunteers, using amateur radio, could report that a child is sick and a child is likely to die in another 2-3 days. So the district administration could reach the village and take precautionary measure, whereby in 4 months we brought down the death rate from 5,000 per year to just around 150 that year.
Dr. Srikant Jijkar, Chairman of the National Institute of Amateur Radio of India. Many thanks to Bob Dockery and Jay Wilson for their assistance in arranging this interview at Hamvention 2000. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP.